Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Once Upon a Hyperbole's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Kristen, Karen, and Laura. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about Kansas, which just finished airing and was super good. So what did you guys think? Thumbs up or thumbs down for this episode? Karen, why don't you go ahead and start?
Definitely a thumbs up. This episode was so intense. I kept looking at the clock because it was like 15 minutes in and I'm like, wait, it's not over yet? Like, I felt like so much had happened in such a short period of time, but that by the time it did come to like the last 10 or so minutes, I'm like, seriously, what else is going to happen? Because they crammed so much into it, and yet I thought the pacing was really, really good, and it didn't feel like too much. It was just overall definitely an excellent episode.
Very true. How about you, Laura?
I'm sorry, I just got distracted by something. Yeah, I was all of this episode. It is. I feel like every week I'm coming in here now saying this is my favorite Once Upon a Time episode of all time. But this, like, for real, by like a mile, like so far blew everything else away. This is my favorite Once Upon episode of all time. I don't know that it can get any better than this.
And now you've just dared them. So next week better be really good.
I know. Right. Right. Seriously.
All right, Kristen.
I really, really enjoyed it. Maybe not as much as Laura. And I thought some of the stuff in Oz, like, while I understand why they had to tell the story, some of it seemed a little, I don't know, weird, like little, just kind of superfluous almost, but I'm sure it has a place. So before Laura like kills me, but no, I really liked the episode. It was really good, and I loved all the Storybrooke stuff. So
yeah, the episode felt super intense, and it did feel like, I don't know, I kept looking at the clock too, Karen, thinking, oh my god, I only have like 5 minutes left, what's gonna happen? And really there were like 20 minutes left because there was so much happening. You were waiting for like the angry moment. So yeah, I'm super excited for next week's double episode, because oh my goodness. Anyway, but this episode was fantastic, and I loved what we learned in this episode, and just, oh, there was so much going on. So let's jump into favorite quotes. Kristen, do you want to start with yours?
Sure, because mine is, of course, David and Hook. David's, when he's like defending Hook, and he says, Selena backed you into a corner. You did the best you could. And then Hook says, see, even your father gets it. Like, I just love it. It's so, so great.
That thank moment you. Was so good.
He said exactly what we were all thinking. Like, give him a break, Emma. He was trying to help.
So, so loved it. True. All right, Karen, go ahead. Why don't you give us yours?
Okay, mine is from Regina, and this is when she's talking to Zelina, and she says, don't tell me what I can be. And it was just so perfect in the culmination of everything that Regina has been building up to, and her whole scene that I'm sure we'll talk about a lot later about being a hero and the choices that she's made and everything was just so great. And I know I said it last week, but Regina is just my favorite character right now because she's absolutely fantastic.
So true. She was fantastic in this episode. Laura?
My favorite quote is from Robin Hood. I know, wild surprise there. And the quote is, I have your heart. I'm like so all about the Regina Robin ship right now. And when he burst in with his little crossbow and said that line, yeah, that's it. I'm done. I'm good.
Okay, mine was from Henry, and it was, once upon a time you were a villain, Mom, but you've changed and you're a hero now. I just, that whole speech by Henry was just so perfect. Like, I loved every minute of that speech by Henry. It didn't feel like it was overdone. It was just what Regina needed, and it was so very Henry in a sense, but a more mature Henry. So I just loved that whole moment. All right, so let's get into discussing this episode, because a lot happened. We started off with Snow and Labor, and Zelina started to set up her ingredients around kind of this emblem. I don't know if you guys noticed it. It was like a double circle with a circle in the middle, and then kind of like an X through it all. So it was all connected, so everything could connect. And then she had these four dishes set up around the outside of the circle. So it's kind of like a spoke with those little things off of it. And she took the straw that Rumple was turning into gold and made that a gold brain. So she had Rumple's brain. And then she had Charming Sword, which was his courage, and Regina's heart. Again, very interesting. So this is kind of how the episode opens, and then Snow is in labor. And we cut to a flashback of Xelena watching Regina try to do magic and Rumple teaching Regina. And Glinda shows up and thanks her for exposing the wizard, and then kind of talks Xelena into joining the rest of the Sisters of Oz. And they're the Witch Sisters of Oz, the North, South, East, and West. There's four of them. And they say that she would be the Witch of the West. And Glinda kind of convinces her that her talents need to be put to good use. What do you guys think of Glinda? Like, I'm not really sure where I stand on her. She's a little, I don't know. What did you think?
She's kind of blah to me. I mean, not that she's bad or anything like that, but there wasn't a lot to go on there to, like, make me actually feel something for her. Do you know what I mean?
For someone who's keeping the book of record, she's ridiculously naive. Like, she just says, oh, you can change your own, you know, your own destiny. You are your own destiny. And then, like, ignores the fact that this girl just came in on a cyclone and Xelena, you know, knows about the whole cyclone thing. She kind of told her that. And, you know, like, it's like, come on, put the pieces together. She's going to be a little bit nervous about all of that. Like, reassure her, let her know that you're, you know, you're just welcoming Dorothy with open arms. You know, it just seemed really naive of her to just welcome Dorothy and not worry about Xelena at all.
Yeah, she's very, like, I don't know, like, happy-go-lucky, or I don't want to say happy-go-lucky, but, like, naive. Like, hi, I'm Glinda. Welcome, sister. Like, it's, I don't know, it's, like, very, like, zen or something all of a sudden. I don't know. It just struck me as being, like, very overly optimistic and naive.
Especially for someone who holds the book of records and knows the past, present, and future. Like, that's the odd part. Like, I don't know. So is there something we're missing in that book? Is there something? Do you know what I mean? It's very odd. So back to the book later, we'll see. So we're back in the present, and Rumple and Xelena are kind of having a moment. And Rumple says to her, you will be who you are will always remain the same. That is a fate you can never escape. Because he says when he'll find her and he'll kill her. And she's like, you won't remember me. And so he kind of gives her that line, which I thought was a really good line. I really like that coming from Rumple, because he's very angry with Xelena for everything that she's done. So we kind of have that moment that's very tense between them. And Xelena's like, oh, well, I'm going to have everything I want now, so it won't matter. And you'll have no way of catching me. And she was really, her big point was that the next time they met, Rumple would say yes to her because he had said no to her before. So do you think that given everything, do you think Rumple would have been able to remember who she was?
I feel like Rumple is Rumple. Like, to me, like, Rumple has so many tricks up his sleeve. Like, some way, somehow, he would have. That's too simple, but I just feel like Rumple is more complex than even we realize, and he would figure something out.
That's kind of how I feel about it, too, because Rumple, I mean, if you think back to everything that he's orchestrated up until this point, he had contingency plans for everything. And even if he didn't necessarily remember who Xelena was, I think that perhaps he would have set something up. I don't know. I think you're absolutely right, though, Laura, that he's just way more complex than we could ever hope to realize, and that he would probably find a way to either defeat her or get around whatever she wanted him to do.
Well, and you know what? He'd still be the Dark One, and that's a power, you know, I mean, unmatched in a lot of this world. So it's like, I can see where he would find a way, or at some point she would pose a threat to him, and I can't imagine he would just let her, you know, reign over everything.
You know what it is, too? It's like Rumple's kind of like the baseline, I want to say, almost on magic. It's that, like, Rumple is the teacher. Like, it's not really a teacher for Rumple, if you know what I mean. Like, he's the start of it. Like, if we could find somebody who taught Rumple magic, then I'd feel like maybe he was outclassed in some sense. But because he's the one who's, I don't know, like the baseline, I guess, is how I've been putting it. That's why I don't see like anybody getting better than him, if that makes sense.
It really makes me curious to know how strong he is, because I mean, compared to Zelina, because Regina and Rumple have gone up against each other before, and not that they're evenly matched necessarily, but there's definitely like some difficulty when they go face to face. And Zelina is supposed to be way more powerful than Regina is, so I just wonder if Zelina would be able to take on Rumple.
Do you ever think that Rumple may have been holding back, though, from Regina? That he really didn't want to kill her, he just wanted to keep her in her place?
That's possible.
Yeah, I could buy that, totally.
Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of unfolds moving forward, given the events of the last couple of minutes of the episode. So let's go back to, like, where we were. So we have Emma, who's absolutely unwilling to forgive Hook. She's in the hospital. Her and Regina put up a spell around where Mary Margaret's giving birth, and they think it'll keep black magic out or dark magic out, but they're not sure. So Emma decides to take the fight to Zelina. So she's not going to go by herself, or she wants to go by herself. And Hook says, just let me come with you. Let me help you. And Emma's like, no. And she's like bitter. I mean, she's some of the most bitter we've seen her with Hook at this point. She doesn't want to talk to him. She doesn't want to be around him. She keeps insisting that she doesn't trust him, even though the only reason Hook did the things he did was to save Henry. And he made that very clear to Emma. Emma insists that he's no good for her. And the best part of this, and this is where Kristen's quote comes in, is that David's like, where are you going? And so Emma explains to Emma, he's like, you're taking Hook. She's like, no, I'm not. Like, the petulant child that she's being right now. And David's like, the dad who puts his foot down, you're taking Hook. No matter what, you're taking Hook. I kind of really loved that moment for a lot of reasons. It really put Charming in the role of father and Emma in the role of daughter in a way that they really haven't been before. And, you know, Charming really kind of just put his foot down and been like, you know, cut the guy some slack. Even I can see why he did what he did. And kind of from there. So what did you guys think about that whole moment with Emma, Hook, and David?
I was just really glad someone stood up for Hook, because the poor guy was just trying to help.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I feel it's kind of funny, too, because a lot of times Emma is the one asking people to give somebody a chance, and this was like the tables getting turned on her.
Very true. So from there, we kind of get this little glimpse of Henry talking with Hopper about finding apartments for Emma, because Henry is planning on staying in Storybrooke. And so he thinks that Mary Margaret's will be too crowded and he'll be spending time with Regina. So he wants to find Emma an apartment. And interestingly, Henry's like, oh, a view of the water would be really nice for Mom. Or, you know, for Emma. No, do you think he's trying to play matchmaker?
Oh my gosh, I hadn't even thought about that.
That was exactly where my thoughts went.
Oh, the water. That is so good.
I thought it was really funny that he was like, oh, yeah. And so Henry's making these grand plans. And Hopper says, well, have you talked to Emma? And he's like, no, but she'll want to stay. We then cut to Emma and Hook going out to the farmhouse. And Emma kind of feels a lot of guilt over leaving New York City. And she plans on going back to New York City. And she makes that very clear to Hook. And so she feels that they need to go back for Henry's sake. She hasn't even asked Henry if that's what he wants to do, clearly. And part of it, she actually outright blames Hook for bringing her back. What do you guys think that's all about in Emma's world, blaming Hook for bringing them back?
She's scared. That's what it comes down to. I think part of her really does want to protect Henry because Storybrooke is dangerous. And New York City, believe it or not, is probably less so at this point. And so I can kind of see like her motherly instincts kicking in there, but she's getting a lot closer to Hook, and Hook is becoming kind of a hero, and he's really trying to do the right thing, and she's falling for him, and she's just scared. And I think that's really the reason why she wants to go back to New York City.
Yeah, and Hook does call her on that. He's like, you're leaving because you're afraid. Which is a huge, like, he's just like, you're doing this because you feel close. And there is that element, I think, definitely to Emma. Emma runs. That is like Emma's MO for most things. Because when she first met Neil, she didn't run. She stuck. And look what that got her. Right. So it seems like ever since then, she runs at the first sign. So I thought that was a really telling kind of moment between the two of them.
Well, she like runs or avoids, and I grant you that avoiding is a form of running, but I feel like she ran out of avoiding options, so now that's why she wants to run.
Yeah, there's only so many places you can duck and cover from Hook in Storybrooke. So we got to go back to that other zip code. But Hook makes a super valid point. He's like, the life you lived was a lie. You had a flying monkey as your potential fiance. Like,
that great.
Wasn't real. That wasn't where you belonged. Which, you know, awkward.
I know. But it's very like true. Score one Hook.
You know what also frustrates me about all of this is that Emma, for so long, was so bitter and angry over not having a family and not having her parents, and she finally found them, and now she wants to run away again for, you know, kind of a completely different reason, but you would think that she would realize that her entire family and her entire life is in Storybrooke, and that that's more important than being afraid to fall in love again.
Do you think part of it's not even about falling in love? Do you think part of it now is she's going to have to watch Mary Margaret and David raise a baby when they couldn't raise her?
She still has a lot of feelings over that, so I would imagine that's part of it too, yeah.
I think it's more of a subconscious thing to a degree, but I agree it is, it's definitely part of it.
I still think it's also kind of strange that she's not thinking that Henry's going to want to be there. Like, Henry loves his grandparents and he loves Regina and he's not going to want to leave. Like, now that he has his memories back, he's not just going to want to go to New York with her.
But does she also think Regina's going to give him up so easily?
Right. Like, she also just got him back.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess time will tell on that one. Now, at the end of that scene we're talking about, Zelina and Rumple come upon Hook and Emma fighting, and she basically tells Emma she has to either give up her magic or give up Hook, and then she makes Rumple basically drown Hook, which was pretty intense. And Emma kind of freaks out about it, and then so Emma easily makes the decision that she'll kiss Hook and give up her magic. Like, it didn't look like it took her much time to decide upon that at all. Do you guys, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like this big pondering of do I save Hook or do I give the magic. She was willing to give up the magic.
I couldn't figure out why she didn't do more to, like, stop it. Like, she has magic
Thank
in
you.
Her. Like, why didn't she stop Rumple and save Hook from even entering that little water trough?
I know. I think sometimes she forgets she actually has magic because she never uses the damn stuff. Like, in any serious incident, she barely ever thinks to use it. Like, it's really annoying. I don't get it. You have it. Zap the witch, take back the dagger, call it a day. I don't know.
Well, because then the only other thing I could help but think was, well, Emma was right. Hook shouldn't have gone with her, because it's true. Like, he didn't do anything except get into trouble, and then she had to give up her magic. So she was kind of right that maybe she should have gone by herself. But if she would have just used her magic against the witch like she said she was going to do, nothing, none of that would have happened. So it's like, frustration.
I love it. So true. I actually have that noted. Why didn't she use her magic? I'm confused. So we have a flashback then, and it cuts back to the Sister Witches of Oz. And Zelina has to choose to be good. Glinda gives her this whole spiel about you control your fate. You just have to choose. What do you choose? You can be the Sister of the West, and that represents innocence, which I'm not really sure Zelina, whether she chooses to be good or not, would actually ever fit that bill. So Glinda says she sees the past, present, and future. She can be the Wicked Witch. She can be the Witch of the West, and who supposedly came in on a cyclone. Well, Zelina came in on a cyclone. Isn't that all just super convenient? So now they have Zelina, who's believing that she can be good and is willing to be this Witch of the West and join her other sister witches, which is an interesting concept that you basically have the four points of a compass and each point has its own witch with its own representative magic for whatever reason. So from there, we cut back. Emma kisses Hook, saves his life, gives up the magic. Awesome. Not really. So then Zelina goes and decides she's taking on the hospital. We have Robin and his archers are at the front, ready to, like, aim true to save little John, as they said. And she flicks her wrist and they all get knocked out.
Useless.
Oh, here's a clue, because I didn't catch this. Because maybe this just went by too quickly. How did they know it was little John? I mean, does not one flying monkey kind of look like the rest of them?
No, they were just saying, there was no flying monkey there. They just said, let's do it for little John. Like, meaning, she took our guy, let's do it for him.
Right, but then, but the fact of the matter is, they don't really know that the flying monkey they're, like, whacking away at, like, quasi-harmlessly is little John.
There were no flying monkeys there at that point.
No, but I'm just saying, later on, do they know that it's, like,
no.
They don't know that it's, okay, that's what I thought. Okay, that's what I was checking.
No. So, they just make the comment, do it for little John, because, you know, she had taken him already. So she flicks her wrist, they go away. Then she comes up against Belle. Belle tries to talk to Rumple, and she, of course, knocks Belle out and throws her into Rumple's arms. And Rumple is so not happy. You can tell he's progressively getting more and more angry with her as she moves forward into the hospital.
So I love little automaton Rumple who's like, it's like, throw you into war. And he's like going like, sorry. Like, it's it's just so very strange for Rumple.
He's not okay with it. So then she takes on Regina and basically is, again, with one sweep of her hand, kind of just knocks Regina out and then goes into where Snow has just given birth to a baby boy. And she freezes both David and Snow and takes the baby and goes back to have her diabolical plan put into action. And it is pretty diabolical. I'm not really sure what happens to the baby when they're used, but it kind of creeps me out just thinking about it. So from there, we have another flashback. And Zelina and Glinda are walking around, and they hear this other horrible noise that sounds like lightning and thunder. And when they go and check it out, they realize another cyclone has come to Oz. I mean, really, how many cyclones can Oz have? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I wanted to know if this was like a regular occurrence, like cyclones just pop up out of nowhere.
Right!
I'm thinking no, because, I mean, if someone's coming in on a cyclone and they would fulfill the Witch of the West seat, you would think it would be more rare than, you know, than it is at the moment.
Because they seemed completely, like, they weren't, like, shocked by it. It was like, oh, it's a cyclone. Oh, look, there's someone in it. Like, what is going on here?
Yes, and they're not, like, running for cover, you know? Like,
yeah.
Clearly, they didn't hear about the slipper issue. I don't know.
Right, or the incoming house. Like, seriously.
So from there, they find and discover Dorothy, and Zelina is instantly envious and jealous and very concerned that Dorothy is going to be the end of her. And Zelina goes and reads the record book, the book of records, which she's not supposed to do, and discovers that this girl could be the end of Zelina. She could be the one that takes her out. So what she does is she kind of sets her up later on. And with that, they're at a well. Dorothy is getting water after she's kind of been sitting in Zelina's chair at the table, and Zelina starts to go very green again. And so Zelina tries to throw a fireball at her. Dorothy throws the water at Zelina and melts her, conveniently. So then Dorothy is like, I just want to go home. Can I just go home? And Glinda takes her to see the wizard. And the wizard gives her some... They look like golden slippers, but I could be wrong.
They were like gold lamé slippers instead of like ruby slippers. Yeah,
but in the original book, they're silver slippers. They made them ruby for the TV movie.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, so that's why I looked to see if they were silver, but they weren't. They were gold, so I'm not really sure what that means. And so she clicks her heels three times, and she goes back And then the curtain drops and Glinda discovers that it was actually Zelina, not the wizard, because she wanted to get rid of the one person that could harm her, which was Dorothy. So that was kind of an interesting little twist right there.
I was a little disappointed that Dorothy didn't play a larger role in this whole story, but at the same time, I kind of like the idea that this is very much Zelina's story and that Dorothy is just sort of like a sideline character, but I think it would have been cool to see her in Oz more and kind of see like how she interpreted the world in all of that.
Very true. It could also be, you know, Dorothy's still out there, so if they had to defeat Zelina's power, and the one person that could do it was Dorothy, it's not like she's gone.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So that would be an interesting thing to have happen later on, perhaps. We'll have to see.
What did you guys actually think about Dorothy? Because I know when we first saw her in the preview, she looked so young. And I was like, I don't know about this. But I actually really enjoyed her in the episode. And I don't think she was quite as young looking as I thought at first glance.
The first thing that hit me is that I thought she was like Henry's age. And I went, oh, God, there's a ship about to sail. Yeah, I think she's like 12, 13. I don't think she's young. I think she's like, guess what most people would call like a tween. That's how old I think she is. Like fifth grade, sixth grade, something like that.
No, she's older than that, I would think.
Than that, maybe like 14. She's not like that into high school. Maybe like seventh grade, eighth grade, something like that. She's
yeah,
not
but
that
fifth grade, either. Sixth grade is like 11.
Yes, true. That's
I'm like,
all right.
No,
that's right. All right. So I'm wrong. Yeah, a little bit older. So I don't think she's like in high school yet. I'd say she's definitely like a middle schooler.
Yeah. So I don't know. I liked her. I thought her role was good for the story they were telling. I enjoyed that part of it. It was a little different, which I always love and look to expect from them. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
And like I said, it'd be interesting to see if she fulfills being the Witch of the West at some point in time, if that has come back in any way, kind of thing. So from there, we have Henry give Regina this very big speech about how she can use light magic, that even though Emma has no magic and that not all hope is lost, because Regina can be good. And that's where he gives his big speech about her being the good guy, which was, again, I really enjoyed that moment. I thought Henry kind of like telling Regina that she could be good and that she had every right to be the hero was so like important for Regina to hear and for her to understand. So I really enjoyed that moment.
Yeah, I had little flashbacks to like Henry telling her she was evil back in like season one when he figures it all out. Like in my head, I'm just thinking he used to hate you. Like he used to think so badly of you. And now, you know, he really believes in you. It was just really cute.
Oh, I forgot cute. About that. That's so good. I think this is actually one of my favorite themes in this show because I think they kind of go a little over the top with like the whole family thing and the whole true love thing. But this one about like you can choose whether you're good or bad, and even the people who are villains, like they weren't born villains. I think that this is something that the show has done so, so well. And this scene right here is the culmination of all of that between Henry telling Regina that he believes in her, but also a little bit later on when she decides that she can use light magic to defeat Zelina, I think is just really fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoy that whole kind of theme of redemption in a way, but also that you control your own destiny,
mm-hmm.
which is basically what it's all about.
Absolutely.
So.
And a lot of that messaging just coming out of people's mouths who you do not expect. I mean, it's one thing if Snow White says it, you know, but it's just so amazing to hear that from other characters and them saying it like they truly believe it. That's what was like unbelievable.
The thing with Zelina is that Glinda had been telling her the same thing that like Henry was telling Regina and everybody else was telling Regina, and Zelina chose to just ignore it. And that's why she kept doing the things that she was doing, and that's why she was wicked, you know? And I think that it's interesting to see sort of Regina and Zelina be opposites of each other, whereas Regina had the people around her and trusted them to tell her that, and she believed them and she acted upon that, whereas Zelina didn't. So it was kind of just cool for me to see, like, that opposition between the two characters.
Well, very true.
I also feel like Regina at least had a fighting chance. Like, on a certain level, I feel bad for Zelina, or at least how she's been portrayed, that she never had a fighting chance. Like, Regina at least had a father who loved her. I mean, her mother loved her, obviously, in her own warped little way. But she had, what was the name of the guy she was in love with and died? Was it Daniel? Was his name? Like, she experienced love, and I feel like Zelina never had anything. And that's, I think, kind of a very critical difference between them. Like, you can, I think, choose to go back to what good is if you have some inkling as to what good is. But I feel like Zelina is almost this total sociopath who has known, like, nothing but emptiness ever. And it's hard for her to know anything but that.
I agree with that. And I think that a lot of that really does play into it. But at the same time, I still think that she had choices. She did try to actively ignore Regina, and, you know, she got her regular skin color back and she was on the right path, and then she went and got jealous again. And I realize that's not really something that you can control, but it's also something that you can choose not to act on. And if you think back to Emma, who also didn't grow up with parents or a family, she had been alone for most of her life. She had a lot of difficulty with love in her life, and she ended up being the savior. And I realized that a lot of good things also happened to Emma, but like I said, I think it all goes back to choices. And if Zelina had truly wanted to be better, I really think that she could have.
I think so too. I think she just let it get the best of her in a lot of different ways, and she just truly couldn't let go of the things that she felt she deserved in so many ways. So I don't know. That clearly comes back to bite Zelina in a big way, though. Rumpel does vow to kill her as she's setting up her little swirly death spiral thing with the baby and the heart and the courage. Rumpel is very clear that he will find her no matter what, and that he will kill her because she took his son and everything from him that mattered, and she used him as a puppet, and he's not having any of it. So the others decide that Regina can take on Zelina, and they will just give her as much backup and support as they can. So they go in, and Regina's ready to rock her light magic power, and Zelina basically, again, uses Rumpel against them. But Rumpel is telling them, get the dagger. Just get the dagger, and I can do whatever you need me to do, but you have to get the dagger. Listen to me. Even as he's flinging them all over the place.
It was like, get the dagger, get the dagger, get the dagger. Yeah, it was.
I'm so sorry.
Funny. I'm sorry. Boom, get the dagger. And it's a little, like, well, that, and he's, like, making these little, like, wrist movements. I don't know. It was just, the whole way it looked was just kind of funny. I liked it, though. It was kind of hilarious.
Yeah, he was very adamant that they get the dagger and quickly, because he really didn't want to hurt any of them. So in the end, all things turn out. Robin Hood grabs the heart, which saves Regina, or allows Regina to use her light magic fully. She zaps Zelina, who's a little taken aback, and she's like, you can't be this. You can't do this. And that's when Regina's like, I can be anything I want to be. And today I want to be light.
was anybody else thinking that, like, Robin Hood was going to, like, I don't know, like, toss the heart to Regina or come running?
There was a moment.
And, like,
there was a moment I was afraid it was going to get tossed. I was a little, I was confused about why he needed to hold on to it.
I was sitting there going, like, ooh, don't crush that baby. Don't squeeze that too tightly. And I'm like, is he going to toss it like a softball? Or is he going to, like, run over and, like, I wasn't really sure what he was going to do with it. But I do like the concept that, like, Robin was holding his heart, and since he loves her, he's feeling the love in the heart, and I did love that. But a scary part of that, I really did think he was gonna, I don't know, do like a linebacker move or something with the heart, and I don't know, or quarterback move, I should say.
I don't know, but I loved it. That whole scene was fantastic. So Regina basically gives her one good shot of light magic. She goes boom, and they get the dagger finally, and Rumple is back to being Rumple. Well, the first thing Rumple wants to do is destroy Xelena, so he goes in for the kill. Regina picks up the dagger and stops him and says, no, you can't do that. We've done... And again, Regina gives this amazing speech about, you know, how many people have we killed to get what we wanted? What are the things that we have done? You know, we have gotten a second chance. And I just... Oh, she was amazing tonight. So she kind of just says, you know, we're done now. We're not doing this. And this is, you know, where we go from here. So I don't know. What did you guys think about Regina's whole big kind of change of heart about killing off Xelena and about redemption and how she so clearly put it out there to Rumple?
I was good with her stopping Rumple for doing what he did, but I felt like the conversation she had with Xelena was too soon. Like, not that what she was saying wasn't true and wasn't incredibly valuable, but I felt like Xelena wasn't even anywhere near ready to hear that message. Like, it was wasted almost in a sense.
Right, right. I definitely understand that. I don't know. But I did, I don't know. I just thought it was a fantastic speech. So from there, Regina gives the dagger to Belle. And tells Belle, you know, you can, I trust you. This is kind of my redemption for, you know, me asking for forgiveness for the things I did to you by giving you the dagger of the Dark One. And so Belle goes to Rumple and they reunite and they kind of have their moment. And she gives the dagger to Rumple, but Rumple says, no, Belle, no, I want you to keep it. I don't want it. And then he asks her to marry him. And Belle makes him promise not to go after Xelena, and he says, no, I won't do that. And so then he asks her to marry him, and they're all giddy and excited that they're going to get married. There's a moment with Emma and Hook, and Emma says, you know, I'm going back to New York City. Because Hook asks her, you know, did you get your magic back? And she's like, no, I didn't. Which is odd, because everything's supposed to go back when Xelena loses her power. So Xelena lost her power. We got little John back from being a flying monkey.
Right.
But Emma didn't get her power back. Or is she lying? What do you think?
I didn't think that she could be lying. That's interesting.
Well, here's what I'm not sure of. Like, is it not like there's two types of magic? Like, it's like an active magic. Like, I took what I already had as my magic. And I turned you into a flying monkey or a toad or whatever. So I felt like that's what got reversed. But the other part wasn't so much like she took the magic, but I felt like she didn't use magic to make the magic, or she sort of.
Yes, she did. She used a curse on Hook's lips.
She did, but then they had to do it, so maybe that's
still
the difference.
Curse.
So now here's the question, though. Is it sitting in her pendant?
Well, no, because all of that magic goes away anyway. But,
well, yeah, but Regina took the pendant from her. Like, I wonder if the magic that she took or borrowed ended up in that pendant.
Possibly, but again... If Emma tells Hook she doesn't have magic and I don't need it because I'm not going to be here anyway, do you know what I mean? It's almost like she's forsaking anything to do with Storybrooke to try to get back what they had in New York and avoid all of this. So if she says she doesn't have magic, it makes it that much easier to walk away. Not that she doesn't actually have it, but that she doesn't have to admit she has it because it makes it less likely that she belongs there.
Okay. That's really interesting and something I hadn't thought of before, but that actually does make a lot of sense to me.
The other thing I thought was that do they have to kiss in order to get the magic back?
Well, see, I kind of thought about that, but then given the end of the episode, if it was a part of the enchantment, that would be done. Because she's gone. Like, not only does she not have her magic anymore, she's dead.
Right, so, and that makes me think that Emma's magic would have gone back to her, and that's why she's...
Well, I think there's a good possibility that it could be in the pendant. Like, I hadn't thought of that before, but after you said it, I was like, that makes total sense. Like, that would be where it would be stored, since that's where all of Zelina's power was really, like, stored, now that she had it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's complicated. I guess
we'll find out. Yeah, like it was some sort of receptacle or whatever. I mean, has Regina, like, had this thing too? Yeah, I was, like, sitting there, like, the whole time going, up. Do not put that thing in storage. Chop it up. Hack it into a middle of pieces. Like, why are you keeping this? You know? It's like, why do people keep objects like that? Chop it up. You know? If it's in a million pieces, she can't use it again.
Well, you know, that part actually really kind of worried me, because Regina had this really interesting yes. smile on her face, and I was like, oh my god, is she gonna use it for something else? Like, does she want more power? Is this whole hero thing, like, is she just saying that, and she's really got something devious going on? And I got really, really scared.
There was something about the look on her face, because I definitely marked that in here. I'm like, why did she look the way she did? Like, yeah, it. I don't know. It looked weird. The only other thing I could think of, I'm like, is it possible that somehow Cora's possessing Regina, and that's why she was excited to have the pendant?
Oh my god.
It's all that power. That was.
Oh my gosh.
I know. But I was just like,
watch it be true though. Like, sometimes, like, way out predictions like that are absolutely true. Like, watch that comes true.
Scary. It's all very, very scary. So anyway. Back to that. After Emma tells Hook that she's going back to New York, and he seems, well, quite broken about that, actually, she kind of just goes off on her way. And then we cut to the very end, and Rumple appears in front of Zelina. And Zelina's like, well, there's nothing you can do about it. You don't have your dagger. And then Rumple pulls out the dagger and explains that he basically tricked Belle into believing that he was going to be good. And that he wasn't going to use, you know, hurt Zelina. And unfortunately, that wasn't going to work out, because he promised Neil that he would avenge his death. So that promise to Neil was more important than his promise to Belle. And Zelina actually tries to almost beg for her life, which, I'm not going to lie, I found it a smidge amusing, because after everything she did, what made her think that Rumple would just let her go?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt bad for her at the very end, because she was powerless, and she was very convincing with her tears and like, no, no, please don't do it. But I think part of that comes from the fact that I was so, so angry at Rumple for tricking Belle, because Belle put, and always has really, but I think here with the dagger, she put all of her trust in him to give him back the dagger so that he could be his own person and actively choose to do the right thing. And he didn't. And he lied to her and he tricked her. And I realized that Bay was his son and that he did want to get revenge. But after everything that happened and everything that Regina said in particular about being heroes and that they don't need to kill and everything, and Zelina's power was gone, why did he feel like he really had to do that? I feel really, really bad for Belle.
Yeah, even in particular, that whole aspect of Regina's speech about, like, how many people have we already killed? Like, you know, it's time, you know, it's karma, you know? It's like, we need to be merciful here. And he just turns his back on all that. Yeah, I think on Twitter, I was sitting there with like big giant cap locks going, no, Rumple, no.
Yeah, you were. It was so funny. But at the same time, I feel like they can't do the same thing that they did with Regina, with Rumple, you know? I mean, he can't go down the same path, because that would be boring. So I kind of am interested to see in like how this is going to play out, but it doesn't make me any less angry at him.
This is true. I was really angry with him, but at the same time, I did understand it. I don't know. It's like such a hard one. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how it all plays out.
Go ahead. I couldn't help but think that if the tables were turned and Henry had been killed by Zelina, that might be the one thing that Regina couldn't forgive. Like the one thing that she just would not be able to not keep herself from taking revenge for. Like, and since in that respect, I can totally see why Rumpel couldn't, you know, he couldn't let her live. She didn't have any power. She didn't have anything, but he couldn't let her stay. And so I could see that. I'm still mad at him too, because it's like, come on. But and in the same light, I can see if you turn the page, you know, if you flip the table a little bit, you could see how Regina might have the same problem.
Absolutely. I don't know. It's so good. Like, I love it for so many reasons. Like, it's so, I don't know. So at the very end, he kind of kills off Selena, which we all know. But when he kills her, all of her magic comes out of the pendant and goes back to her, like, symbol that she had in the ground. And from the previous next week, it looks like that opens up and perhaps sucks Emma in. So what do you guys think that could be? Like, is it still a portal to the past? Is it what is it? Any thoughts? Any speculation?
I think it is. And okay, I have a question about this first before we get into like speculation and stuff, but why did that work after it was closed by, I'm guessing, I think Regina kind of like actively closed the portal or whatever. And I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the fact that Zelina was the Witch of the West, and she was supposed to represent innocence, and so was the baby. So was her magic, like, have some sort of connection to, like, finish the spell or something?
I don't know. I was wondering that, too. I'm not so positive that it's the spell, in as much as it's a portal of some kind. I don't know that it per se is a portal to the past, but I definitely feel like it's a portal.
See, now my mind immediately went to Portal to Oz, because that pendant belonged to the Witch of the West, whoever the Witch of the West was going to be. And so the magic is returning to Oz. And so, therefore, anyone who gets sucked into it would be going there.
That could make sense to me. Plus, I feel like, I mean, really, we just had a little glimmer of Dorothy. I feel like we should be getting more Dorothy.
And it was kind of cyclone-shaped, so whoever was in it, like, would probably arrive by cyclone, which would mean they, you know, like, it all kind of fit for me. I don't know.
So hey, I'm just happy it's not a purple it's not a purple smoke monster. A cyclone is close, but it is not a purple smoke monster.
Still okay, different.
Okay, so same thing.
If it's a cyclone and Emma gets sucked into Oz on a cyclone, does that make her the Witch of the West?
Well, see, that's the only part that, because technically Regina defeated her, but whoever it is supposed to arrive in a cyclone into Oz. So, possibly?
Oh, but if Regina defeated Selena, does that mean that Regina could be the Witch of the West?
That's what I was wondering.
That was
going to
be
a really fascinating. Big
cool.
I don't know.
Just picture how many people might arrive on Cyclone. I mean, we tend to take all of Storybrooke with us everywhere. I mean, it could be like almost anybody.
Well,
like everybody in. Let's all go.
Seriously.
There's two separate episodes next week. They're just back to back. That's why it's a 2-hour finale. The first one is called Snowdrift, right? And I don't remember what the second one is called.
No Hold Place Like Home?
Yes. That's it, isn't it? So we have these two. We have Snowdrift and...
There's No Place Like Home is clearly the line from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So it just... Yeah. To me, it just says it's got to be Oz. I think we'll all pretty much be stunned if it's not Oz.
True. But does that mean that's where we're going for season 4? Or is that just going for that episode?
Right. That was the thing, is were they tricking us with the little, you know, cyclone thing and Emma falling into it? We're supposed to think that, you know, it's taking her to where we're going next? Or is the end of the episode going to be completely unrelated to it?
Because it does say that by the end of the episode, you'll learn where we're going next season.
But you know, No Place Like Home, where's their home? The Enchanted Forest.
True.
True.
It's a never-ending list of possibilities.
Well, we also have like some unwrapped up ends. That's didn't come out right. But anyway, we have like some things that just we've never really gotten to the bottom of. Like the whole idea of Ursula the Sea Witch and all of that, we haven't really thoroughly gotten through that. We've sort of left Mulan kind of hanging. Like what's going on with that whole story?
Mulan
right?
is on another show at this point in time.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. That would be then. See, I don't watch whatever the show is. So then
She's
that would make sense. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that would make sense as to what happened to Mulan. Because I felt like there were things that just like played a big part in this whole year. And to me, the two that are the big holes are what happened with that whole Ursula plot line, and I guess we've just sent Mulan off because she's on another show. Okay, so maybe that's what happened to her, but I'm just wondering if those things will come back, or do we go under the sea to Ariel's kingdom? That would be like very expensive for them to do, but maybe they do something like that.
Do we go to Arendelle? Because hey, what's a little Frozen reference here and there?
I want them to go to ancient Greece, because that would be so cool.
I would really enjoy that.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
I don't know. Like, I have no idea where they could go, but I'm sure I'll love it no matter what.
You could stop in Victorian England and pick up the Knave. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the Knave is supposed to be in one of the last two episodes.
Yeah.
So, everyone's like, yeah. So, they went back to Wonderland. So, do they end up in Wonderland?
Oh, well, God.
Did they go back to Wonderland? Because they're the White King and Queen.
Well, and in that preview, there is a woman in a very big, poofy red dress, and she has, like, blonde hair.
That's Emma.
And I was trying. That's Emma. I couldn't tell if it was or not, because her hair is different.
Click the second link from the Tumblr I put in there. It's Emma. It's Emma and Hook.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay. Well, because like we saw them like dancing, and she was in a red dress, but it didn't look like the same one. So I was like, could that be our queen? I mean, I know she's the White Queen now, but
right. So do they somehow end up in Wonderland together? Because she's going through the cyclone, and he's holding on to her. Does he say screw it and fall through the cyclone with her? Because I don't think he's willing to just let her go. I don't think he's going to make that choice. I think no matter where she goes, he's going with her. So are they separate in a different place in time from everybody else, and they have to find their way back? One way to resolve how they feel about each other is to stick them together for a very long time and only have it be the two of them. Eventually, it'll work itself out. So I don't know. Because she's dressed as a princess. Like, if you look at the image, because people were screen capping that 30-second trailer like there was no tomorrow. It was amazing. So it is an image of Emma and Hook in prince and princess attire, you know what I mean? Big ball gowns and stuff, dancing at a ball. So I have no idea what that's about. There's also
It's got to be baby related. Like, I don't know, baby's christening, or I'm sure it's like all hail to the new prince.
Right.
Congratulations on his birth. I'm sure
there's
it's a big
someplace
party
where,
for the baby.
Yeah, but it's not in Storybrooke. There's no way. If you look at it, it's not Storybrooke.
Right, right.
You're in a fantasy land.
Right. Good question.
Then there's also the gif of Hook hitting himself. So there are two
confusing.
Hooks. So instead of one Hook, we now have two Hooks.
Yeah.
All in favor of the cloning. Raise your hands.
You're all raising our hands, aren't we?
Orphan Black meets Once Upon a Time. It's a crossover. There you go.
I don't know. But there is that. So those are the two images that stuck out most, was that we have two Hooks, which I don't think anyone's really opposed to, except one of them's hitting the other one, and I'm not really sure why. It's a little confusing. That could be concerning. And then there's Emma in this rockin' princess dress with Hook dancing at some ridiculous ball, but we don't know why. So that's what we've got. Other than that, I have absolutely no idea.
Well, and at least one of those Hooks has two hands, because
yes.
In another little shot, because I was like pausing through the trailer trying to see everything, he has a sword and he's gripping it with two hands. And I looked at it and I'm like, what is going on?
Right. And that's my comment was, I'm like, wait, did we have regeneration here? What happened? I'm confused. I don't know, but I'm all for it. Either way, I'm good. I just can't wait to see what happens, because it's been an amazing season, is all I have to say.
Yes. And I'm This season has been so great, but I'm really excited for season four. And I have one stipulation for season four in that I want them to not be in Storybrooke. I want them to spend the majority of the season in some other land because I thought we were going to get that for this. Was it the whole season or the second half of the season? I don't even remember now. I think it was the second half of the season. And it didn't happen. And it was just really disappointing.
Well, we did spend the whole first half of the season in Neverland. I mean, we weren't in Storybrooke at all, really. We were in Neverland.
Yeah, I just want more.
Okay, greedy, greedy.
I just feel like a lot of TV this season has just ended so strongly. And in particular, shows that are going to be at Comic-Con this summer. I cannot imagine the insanity of the panels of all of these shows at Comic-Con because they are all ending their seasons like to me, stronger than they ever have before. It's going to be insane.
It's so true. Like, I was thinking the other day, and I'm like, if I have to choose between, like, the Arrow panel and the Once Upon a Time panel or the Originals panel, like, it's going to be a really tough choice this summer.
Yeah, we're going to have to... We'll have a schedule. We will plan. But it's going to be crazy. Because all of them are, like, TV is, like... There are certain shows right now that are absolutely at their strongest. Like, every week feels like a season finale, and it's not yet. And they're so intense and so well done. And what I feel bad about the most is that the shows that are, like, really putting it out there and really doing what they need to do in such cool, unique ways are the shows that will never be recognized at an award show.
Yeah, it's true.
Arrow will never be recognized, and it is putting out some of the best stuff on TV. Hands down, it is amazing.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time has a brilliant cast. The things that this cast is doing are just beyond. They will never get recognized.
No, it's a consummate ensemble show, and it's just like individual performers tend to get recognized. Like a real ensemble show just doesn't get recognition at all. You know, totally different genre, but The Walking Dead is the same thing too. And it's an ensemble show, and you just don't get that kind of recognition. So yeah, it's off the charts how good the writing is right now on TV. It really is.
Yeah, it's been super impressive. And I love what they've done with Once Upon a Time, because I think it was season two got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but I feel like that second half of season two and all of this season have just been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there hasn't been I don't feel like we've come on to the show and been like, oh, this episode was okay. Like, I feel like it was all really good this year, and we were excited about what was coming next and what they were going to do. And half the time we had no idea where they were going with it, which is always fantastic. So, I mean, I don't know. I loved it.
I think it was very, very smart of them to kind of set the season in like two pieces, like to have Neverland be a story that gets wrapped up in 12 episodes and then moving on to a whole nother story, I think was really smart because it keeps things from feeling really drawn out. So I'm really excited for where they're going to take it next year.
Well, I also think it worked to their favor that they could block the season in two specific chunks, because I think what happened with season two was we would have an episode, we'd have 3 weeks off. We'd have an episode, we'd have 1 week off. It wasn't consistent. This season we've had like 12 episodes. We had a break. Then we had the second half of the season. So it worked out really nicely that we weren't without it for too long. So it didn't kind of get like boring for us waiting for the next thing. Like all the action was week after week after week, which I think for any show, that's going to be way more beneficial than giving us an episode, giving us 3 weeks off, giving us another episode, giving us a week off, which is what happened to them the season before. And I think they recognized that and adjusted to that.
Yeah.
Which is super important, because I hate when we like have all those jumps. It's too hard to keep up. You know, you want to be in the rhythm of the show so that you're excited for the next episode, and waiting, you know, 5 weeks isn't really something that's going to keep you excited about the show. So we shall see. So do you guys have anything else for this episode?
No.
No, that's it.
Just super excited for the finale.
Yes. Oh,
me too. So next week will be a double episode finale, which is going to be huge. Can't wait. So, as always, thank you guys for listening. And until next week, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.